sound set.
Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Kessman, along with Wendy Thomas, and on today's show, we're covering a bunch of things that have been burning up your time on social media, or maybe that's just my time. Giovanni Dos Santos was left off the Copa America roster for Mexico. We'll talk about the good and the bad with regards to the LA Galaxy, and we're also going to be talking about the newly released salary figures that just came out from the MLS Players Union. Finally, we're looking ahead to the game on Sunday at Cali Clasico. It's the LA Galaxy versus San Jose Earthquakes in round number two at StubHub Center. It's a packed show, and we've got a live audience, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here are your hosts, Josh Gessman and Wendy Thomas.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm your host, Josh Gessman. Wendy Thomas with me again. Glad to be back with you once again for another exciting show. Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of fun things to do. We also have a live studio audience in the house. Yes, very nice. We got Greg and Sev sitting in on this wonderful show here, so hopefully maybe we'll get some of their input a little bit later in the show as well. So a lot of fun stuff, but before we do anything, obviously we have to first get our wonderful, excellent, stupendous lawyer co-host who has been released from arbitration, Wendy Thomas. Wendy, how's it going?
Oh, it's going so well now that I get to talk to you, Josh. I feel like it has been eons since I've had a chance to sit in on the COG podcast.
Yeah, it has been a little bit of a little while for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know. I've missed it so much. I'm so jealous of Jared and Corey when they get to be in here. I don't.
Well, the good news was that the LA Galaxy didn't have a game. And because they didn't have a game, that means that, you know, you didn't miss all that much because we actually even took like a Monday off. I mean, it was... You know, there was some lag time in there. It wasn't horrible.
But there was the Philly clash.
Yes.
And, you know, and there's been many, many rumors, and I haven't had a chance to opine on any of them.
Oh, okay. So I'll get your take then. Tell me a little bit about Philadelphia and what you thought real quick. 30-second synopsis. Go.
30 seconds. I think that when you have to play a game 3 days after playing at home and you have to travel 3,000 miles to Philly and you also are playing with a roster with so many adjustments that it's decent to get a point, and I'm okay with that.
All right. I can deal with that. Okay, now so rumors, Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming to the I imagine that was the rumor you were talking about.
Well, there's a lot of buzz floating around the Twitter sphere. But yes, the rumor relating to Zlatan Ibrahimovic potentially coming to MLS and LA Galaxy being his primary target is raised a lot of eyebrows, wouldn't you say?
Yes. Yes, I think MLS, his eyebrows have raised, you know, all around, whether it's Philadelphia getting mad that they think they're not going to get their $50,000, which, by the way, can we talk?
Or Discovery. Is this another Discovery rights ripoff?
Yeah, it's like, oh, hey, we're Philadelphia and we discovered Zlatan. And then really they can't even discover him because he's Zlatan and he's like undiscoverable. Right. So it's like, hey, Philly, offer him $10 to $12 million a year and then he'll come to you. But you're not going to. So shut it. Be quiet.
Have you ever read Zlatan's autobiography?
No.
It's a really, I read so many of these football books, and most of the autobiographies are just as, you know, it's like watching paint dry. They're so bad.
Right.
But Zlatan's, I would say, was an exception. It is a truly entertaining book. And I know that it was ghostwritten quite heavily, but his persona comes through, and you learn a lot about Zlatan from his book, including the fact that a lot of his major idols in life are American. In fact, the sports figure that he most idolizes, other than Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo, it was Muhammad Ali. And I think that Zlatan's persona, in a way, mm-hmm. is really reminiscent of Muhammad Ali when you think about it. So it's kind of fitting that he wants to come to the United States, because a lot of the influences in his book were American. I think right. that he, I think in some way he has a lot of affection for American culture and pop values and stuff like that.
Well, that's interesting. You can say almost a similar thread to Nigel de Jong, who's so interested in American culture, American football, sort of led him to the LA Galaxy. Perhaps Zlatan can be led to Los Angeles, where all things sparkle. And I think if Zlatan goes anywhere, he has to be at a sparkly place, quite honestly.
Well, I think that, I mean, yes, he definitely needs to be in a city that is big enough to accommodate his personality. And I think that limits it to, you know, some of the most cosmopolitan cities in the United States. So, you know, you could say LA and New York,
right.
but even maybe a city like Washington, D.C. or San Francisco or Chicago or something like that, maybe. But I think LA and New York are the two cities that would be able to accommodate Zlatan and his probably many appetites and wishes and hopes and desires and everything like that. And I don't even know. It frightens me to think of who could coach Zlatan. I think Bruce is the only one. I can't think of a coach in MLS who could handle.
Do you think
the Zlatan?
Do you think Robbie Keane could handle Zlatan?
Oh, I would love to see Robbie Keane get his hooks into Zlatan. Those two, because Robbie Keane is so passionate. He gets so fired up. You know, one of the things that I love about Robbie Keane, why he's my favorite Galaxy player, the Galaxy of the current Galaxy roster,
right.
is how devoted he is to the team and how invested he is in winning. And you never get the sense that Robbie is going to give an inch or that he's going to, you know, he's here just for just to log minutes or impress the media or sell kits or anything like that. He always just is so invested in winning.
Right.
But then you have Zlatan. And there's no team, not in PSG, not even when he played for Barcelona. I mean, he will not accept being a second fiddle to anyone, which is why at PSG, you know, basically, even if you're Edison Cavani, you have to take a back seat to Zlatan.
That's there we go. All right.
Who's going to take a back seat? Who's going to who? And I mean, if you're Nigel de Jong or Giovanni Dos Santos and you have the prospect of this looming, towering, larger than life figure, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, coming, that's you're going to have to figure out a way to be happy playing second fiddle, because Zlatan will not have it any other way.
I like that. I think that would be interesting, though. I mean, he is a little bit older. We've talked about that. I don't think there's any chance that he's done as far as soccer terms, and I think he could be really good for Major League Soccer as a whole. I won't even just say the LA Galaxy. If Zlatan wants to come to MLS, they need to figure out a way to happen, even if that means it's not with the LA Galaxy. I'll just be salty if it's not with the LA Galaxy. I'll be a little angry. They're kind of like those Philly people who still want their $50,000 for Discovery. I'm sorry, but that's just such whiny
BS. Even if he goes to New York, wouldn't that be fun to play him if he went to New York? If he went to the Red Bulls or NYCFC, we could have like an annual, like, you know, we could... Maybe he would come and play in LA. That would be, you know, have like a visitors team game where, you know, you get to see Zlatan. I'd love to just see him play in person. I've never seen Zlatan play in person.
Yeah, me neither. No, I mean, but you know, if he goes to the Eastern Conference, that's like the second division of U.S. soccer over there. I mean, that's some really. I was looking at the standings and God,
you're asking for some trouble on Twitter. You are
horrible.
Asking for it.
They are horrible. And Philly's like Philadelphia after the Philly game, Wendy, was jumping up and down like they won an MLS Cup with a 2-2 draw. I'm like, how are you that excited? Oh, we killed the Giants today. Nah, not really. I mean, LA played like crap and you hung on. Congratulations. You know, what do you want?
That was not Dan Kennedy's best game. Mm. No, I mean, I think it's nice. One thing that I do like about MLS is that its structure forces parity. And so I like it when a team that had a bad year, like last year, Colorado and Philly, you know, had really bad years. And I right. like the fact that you can turn around and a team can all of a sudden start winning. And right. this year, Colorado and Philly are actually doing pretty well. And right. it's kind of, I really like that. I think that the reason why the LA Galaxy has so much psychological currency with other teams is that because of the sustained success that we've had over a prolonged period of time, it gets into people's minds that even if we're not even having like a particularly good year and we're kind of at an off phase, which every team in MLS does, I think in the back of people's minds is still like, oh, it's still the LA Galaxy. I still have to beat them. Like, cause I think the five titles and Landon Donovan, Beckham, it all kind of overshadows other teams. You know, they carry a little bit of their chip, like, oh, if we can beat the LA Galaxy, then we're really doing well.
Yep. No, you're right. I mean, listen, I understand the LA Galaxy have a target on their back. That's fine. I'm okay with it. Whatever. But I mean,
I like it. I carry it. I think it's a badge of honor. I proudly wear that. When people like bash on the LA Galaxy and it's so salty and you can just taste the salt of their tears, I'm like, ah, I, you know, I like it.
Wendy, you're ruthless. I never realized. I enjoy it. I mean, that's the good part. But you're ruthless, and that's good. I think that's what this podcast needs, a little ruthlessness. That's good. All right, let's get into a little LA Galaxy news, switching things a little bit around for this show. Obviously, no game to recap. We sort of just went over the last time the LA Galaxy actually played a game was against Philadelphia last Wednesday. So if you can remember back that far and you've already heard our podcast where we actually already went over it with Jared, you can go back and listen to that one if you really want some more in-depth Vancouver or Philadelphia stuff. I did want to get to LA Galaxy 2 real well, and it's not even on the show notes. I just pulled it up and wanted to talk about it. LA Galaxy 2 went up to Vancouver and played Vancouver Whitecaps FC 2. Because you have to have all of those.
Little Caps,
yeah,
yes.
Yes, Little Caps. See, that's better. They should have just named them the Little Caps. All right, so anyway, they go up there. They quickly fell behind 3-0, the LA Galaxy 2 did. Ended up getting real close and losing the game 4-3. LA Galaxy 2 scored 3 goals in the second half. Let's see. Actually, you know what? They even scored a goal up in the first half. Jose Villarreal had a set-piece goal. I forgot about that one. So Jose Villarreal had 2 goals. And Denzel Slager had a goal as well. Jose Villarreal got 2 goals and 1 assist on this. It was okay. Jack McBean not there, took a knock in practice a little bit earlier in the week, didn't travel with the team. I heard he is going to be back and ready to play for LA Galaxy 2, just in case you're worried about Mr. McBean. But, you know, LA Galaxy 2 played so horrible really in the first half that even they couldn't save themselves in the second half. And unfortunately that happens. And in USL on the road, that's going to happen a lot. There's going to be a ton of goals, and there's going to be lots of sprinting, and you know, it's going to be generally frenetic, which is what USL soccer is. So that's all good. Good news as far as the LA Galaxy 2 still staying in contention in USL on the USL side. But that was really the only game that happened for the LA Galaxy, either senior team or USL team, for the last week. So it's kind of
and congratulations to Nashville, Tennessee, for being awarded the most. The recent USL franchise.
Yeah, aren't there like 70 USL franchises now?
There's going to be a buttload of them. There's so many. When you look at that USL, you're like, but it's good. We need a stronger lower divisions. We really do.
No, absolutely.
So I want to have big Eastern Conference, big Western Conference. Ultimately, I'd like it if USL split into multi-divisions and conferences to minimize travel, but
I think that's coming. That is. They already split it as far as Western and Eastern.
West and East, yeah. I know, but there should be a Central or a Mountain or something.
I think they're getting to that. If they keep adding teams, they're going to have to. But USL really making a play to be that sort of second division, because NASL, although I love them and I think they're great and I think they could have some success, just is not setting themselves up to be that strong second division yet in my mind. And that's a little worrisome, but then you also have USL, so I don't know that you're overall overly worried, except that USL is really propped up by MLS whenever you think about it. And so as long as MLS is doing good, then USL will do good. And so vice versa, everything in between, they're all interconnected, which means that if you pull one out, it's like Jenga. If you pull one out, you could have problems and they could all fall to the ground and then you'll swear and throw the bricks across the room.
Yeah, I actually, NASL has some financial mismanagement issues. It could sort out. And if it did, it would probably be a really good second division. But until I think it sorts out some of the management dysfunction that goes on within the league, I think USL is clawing its way up the ladder to be the second division.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be interesting. We'll have to we'll keep an eye on all that stuff. If you're a pro rel person, you want NASL to sort of pick up and be that second division. Mm-hmm. And that's gonna
hope for them to get better. Yeah, hope for them to get better. Yeah,
or we could just split this, you know, Major League Soccer into 2 20 team conferences and just have the Eastern Conference be the lower division.
I have three theories on how to implement pro rel in the
United
States.
We're not doing it. We're not doing it.
I don't care. I'm not a pro rel person, but every time, like, I actually have this worked out to where I could do it.
Okay.
If Don Garber, Don
call
if you're listening.
Caller.
If you're listening, Don, just pick up the phone, give me a call, I'll explain it to you, be no problem. Not that I care, because I really don't care about pro rally news dates.
It doesn't bother me either. it's like so not high on my priority list. I want a cap. I want the higher cap, a salary cap first, and we're going to talk about.
I'd like more money.
Yeah, we're going to talk about MLS player salaries here coming up, and I think the second segment. So that'll be fun because there's some
Salary dump day. I know. Salary dump day is one of my favorite days of the year.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of the stuff Brian Dunsett said on Twitter as well about salary dump day. That's what we're going to call it from now on. Salary dump day. That's good.
All right. Oh, it is. Twice a year. It's like Christmas. You get salary dump day.
So we're going to talk about that. But first, let's talk about Giovanni Dos Santos and declining the Copa America call for Mexico. I want to attack this from an LA Galaxy perspective and understand what that means for LA, which, you know, basically should be missing Robbie Keane, who's going off to the Euros, to captain Ireland. And then you're going to have Giassi Zardes, who's going to be off with the U.S. men's national team, playing in Copa America, Copa Centenario here in the United States. Both of those tournaments starting to ramp up a little bit. Giassi Zardes should be gone after the game on Sunday to head to U.S. men's national team camp, I believe. And whenever that happens, they're already going to start missing Giassi Zardes. And I think Robbie Keane's probably going to be gone not too long after that. So you can expect him to be gone. But Giovanni Dos Santos, who I think we all expected to be on that team, or at least it was close on the bubble, did not get called into the team, or at least he did and declined the call-up for whatever reason. And coming up, I'm going to talk to Goal USA's John Arnold, who covers CONCACAF and covers Mexico a lot there, so we'll talk to him more in-depth coverage. But I want to know what you think about this sort of weird tale that's going on between Giovanni Dos Santos and Osorio, the coach of the Mexican national team, and whether or not you think this impacts the LA Galaxy positively or negatively.
Well, I always go deep with the conspiracy theories and this kind of stuff because MLS is so opaque. But so since Giovanni Dos Santos joined the LA Galaxy, he has not had a lot of time with Eltree. He has not been getting called in. And I think, you know, part of that is a decision of the coach, because when Miguel Herrera was the coach of the Mexican national team, he actually reacted really positively to Giovanni Dos Santos coming to MLS. He was like, oh, it's a great, you know, great move. I approve of it. And I don't think his current coach does approve of it.
All right, Wendy, hold on. We got a call. 323. Who's this?
Josh, it's Jose.
Jose, what's happening, buddy? What can we do for you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How about yourself? I see you're drinking a Pacifico, at least from the YouTube stream. Is that correct?
This is true. I am drinking, and it's wonderful. It's calming me down, quite honestly, Jose, because I'm a little fired up this week.
Yeah. I know you guys were talking about the Giovanni Dos Santos and Osorio rift and what it means for the Galaxy. One thing off the bat, from the interviews that Gio gave at Walmart and Downey.
Yes.
He seemed to be at peace with the decision. Obviously, he didn't want to, you know, talk about it too much in depth because, you know, it happened at the exact same day that the event was going on.
Right.
But he looks like he's at peace with the decision. He tweeted that he's going to support the Mexican national team and that, you know, one day in the future that he'll be able to wear the kit somewhere down the line. So I think he's just focused with playing with the Galaxy for now. I'm sure he's completely phased that out. I know the Mexican press and like the Spanish press here in LA are probably pressing him to kind of get an interview or kind of explain himself, but I think he's at a point where he's just focused with the Galaxy. He's kind of made it known, and I think that's where his head's at right now.
Yeah.
The way I look at it is it's very similar to what happened to Carlos Vela and Chepo de la Cueva, who was the previous manager of Mexico. I kind of look at it in that same way, because it's just a kind of an internal rift between a player and a coach, and sometimes it's the player and the federation itself. So
right.
The way I see it, he's taking a sabbatical. I don't think he had any hard feelings with the decision that he made. I'm sure down the line we could probably get a better explanation, but from a Galaxy standpoint, I think he's focused on the task at hand. He's been in good form lately, and so I'm pretty sure he's focused on just maintaining that form. One more thing is there might be an outside chance that maybe he gets called into the Olympic squad,
right?
Because that's something that Osorio, you know, doesn't have any weight on as far as national team call-ups. That's a completely different coach, so. It's an outside possibility. I'm not sure if he's going to take that opportunity, but again, I wouldn't worry too much if from a Galaxy standpoint. I think he's and he's focused, and I'm pretty sure he's at peace with whatever decision he made.
Awesome. Good stuff, Jose. All right, well, we're going to let you go, but thanks for the call, man.
And thanks for stopping Wendy about the pro-rel stuff. I mean, that needed to be, stop right there.
We're going to do a whole segment just on Wendy and pro-rel coming up just for you, Jose. All right, I'll talk to you later, buddy.
All right, see you guys later.
All right.
So I think Jose makes a fair point, which is that a lot of times there's a relation, the influence of the federation plays a role. And my perspective is that I think that the current coach's position is that you shouldn't have gone to MLS. If you're going to come back from Spain, then you should have gone back to Liga MX. And as long as you're in MLS and I'm the coach, then we will not be needing your services. And that he's, essentially it was translated as you can say that you declined a call up, but basically you are persona non grata as long as you are in MLS. Well, and I think that he's right that Giovanni Dos Santos does seem at peace with it. And I think that that Giovanni Dos Santos has been playing better and better for the Galaxy, and I'm really happy actually with how his game has been coming along this season. So I think it's a loss for El Tri, and I feel bad for any fans of El Tri who really would have loved to have seen him play in the Copa America, but that's the decision of the Mexican national team. So
yeah, it's going to be interesting. Again, we've talked so many times, Wendy, about it needing to be. There needs to be something. He needs to be happy. And so if he really is happy with the decision, if he's a happy camper, because I'm not going to say that how can I say this without being a little diplomatic about it? I'm not going to say that he's sensitive, but I think that it matters about what environment he's playing in. And I think
of
it matters. And for him specifically, I think maybe Lannan was a little bit like that too, where,
yes,
the environment matters and how you feel about how you play matters. And so as long as he's happy with it, then I see no issues for the LA Galaxy. And plus, you're going to have Giovanni Dos Santos there when you're missing Robbie Keane and Jossie Zardes. So he's going to be able to spearhead that attack while those two guys are gone. And, both these tournaments, obviously it varies how long these guys are going to be gone. Lots of different things could happen, all sorts of things, but you could miss guys for up to a month here.
Of course. And it completely matters how you feel within the city and the team and the environment that you're playing. And that is such a huge influence on players, and it's so underappreciated by commentators. But the fact is that Giovanni Dos Santos had a really up and down career. And a lot of that was attributable to the fact that he was in a situation sometimes that he wasn't happy in. When he was at Spurs, he didn't really feel comfortable in England. It felt weird to him. He went to Spain and he finally sort of got with it a little bit, if the past 2 years. But I think my perception has been, and I could be wrong, but every time I see pictures of him or anything in Los Angeles, he is grinning. He's so happy in Los Angeles. I don't know how he feels about MLS or the Galaxy or his teammates. He seems happy with them.
Right.
But I do get the sense that he really enjoys living in a city like Los Angeles, which is, if you live in LA, everyone here who lives in LA who's listening knows that, there's flat out parts of LA that feel like Mexico, and there's a huge Mexican population,
right?
Huge Mexican influence, the food, the culture, the music, the neighborhoods. And you can be from Mexico and live in LA and feel very much like you're at home.
Yeah, no, all of that comes part of it. So I agree. And he's always smiling because everybody's always talking to him about Minions. Wendy, he loves him some Minions. That's Giovanni Dos Santos. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. Whenever I come back, I'm going to be joined by Goal USA's John Arnold. So stick around for that. You're not going to want to miss it. Let's see, anything else? Oh, yeah, we're previewing the game against San Jose. That gets coming up, and then we have a lot to talk about with regards to MLS player salaries. Oh, that's a good topic, right? I can't wait to dive in. There's Wendy.
Analytics talk.
Wendy, there is a player who is not on the LA Galaxy's roster, who I'm pretty sure the LA Galaxy are paying, and we're going to find out who that is. So don't go anywhere. You know who it is already? Did you read my article? Don't say it. This is a tease. All right. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com, and we will be right back.
Green.
Recording from COG Studios and not their mom's basement, it's Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Gessman, Wendy Thomas with you. Wendy's going to take a quick little break here as I get ready to talk with one of my favorite people, a good friend of mine, a good friend of the show's, Goal USA's John Arnold. John, how's it going?
It's going great. How's it going in Galaxy Land?
You know, so
in the
far...
corner of the galaxy.
In this particular corner of the galaxy, it's going just fine. I want to tell everybody, though, before we even start, that I got you just before you're going to a concert. And that you told me the name of this band, and I chuckled. And I said I wasn't going to bring it back up, but I just couldn't. I'm still chuckling. So what band are you going to see today? You're in Dallas, right?
Yeah, I'm in Dallas. I'm going to the historic Granada Theater to see Snarky Puppy.
That's Snarky?
It's like a jam band, funk. They've been doing some... They're like from Denton, which is where UNT is, and has a very good jazz school. So I guess they were all like, well, we're tired of this. Let's make funk music. And there you go, Snarky Puppy.
Snarky Puppy, and not to be confused with Snarky Puppies, that's not more than one puppy. It's just a single puppy. Many band members...
It's one Snarky Puppy, many band members. Like, maybe too many, but it's a good time.
All right, very good. I'm glad we got that important soccer talk out of the way there. All right, I wanted to bring you on because you cover CONCACAF for Goal USA. You're usually the guy I talk to whenever I have questions about anything in CONCACAF, including Mexico this time, John. Giovanni Dos Santos left off of the Copa Centenario roster for the Mexican national team. It says that he has declined the call-up. I just want to know sort of what you're thinking and what your initial thoughts are on Giovanni Dos Santos being left off the roster.
Yeah, it's weird. But it's something that I think you've come to expect watching the Mexican national team. I will say that with Juan Carlos Osorio, it sort of seemed like a new era. Like maybe this wasn't going to happen. You know, Carlos Vela is the other guy who's this kind of once away, was always feuding with the Federation. He was not in the team for years and years, and he came back. Now he's back on the outs, and Giovanni as well. Those are two big omissions, and then Giovanni's brother. So I think initially people thought, well, maybe Giovanni said, is Jonathan on the team? And Osorio said, no. And then Giovanni said, no, thank you. That's a possibility.
Right.
It's also possible that Osorio said, hey, I'm not going to start you. I'm not going to use you as the first sub off the bench. Will you come? And Giovanni said, no, thank you. And Osorio said, okay. But we're all guessing. We're all guessing at this point because the only thing we have to go by are the statements that Juan Carlos Osorio made in his news conference.
Right.
The statement that the director of national team, Santiago Bolaños, made in the news conference. And Giovanni's tweets and what he said in front of a Head and Shoulders advertising board at a Walmart.
Which, by the way, is awesome. Let's just stop for a second. The fact that I knew I had seen that had been scheduled for that night, and I was like, oh, that might be poor planning if this all goes sideways. And he was on,
right.
And Giovanni Dos Santos was on Counterattack on Sirius XMFC, a soccer show. He's on there as it's being announced. And then he says he doesn't want to talk about it. I don't know how. It was Grant Wall, and I forget who else the other host was. The guy who does the New York Red Bulls play-by-play. I'm going to lose it. I can't think of his name.
You got me.
Okay, so anyway, so they're on there.
To what I'm sure is a great play-by-play man.
He's very good. I like him a lot. But anyway, yeah, so he goes through this, and they announce it there, and he says, I don't want to talk about it. It's like you're talking about Copa America, you know, Copa Centenario, this huge, big deal that's going to take place in the United States. Giovanni Dos Santos is there. Right. And he's going to be able to talk about it, except that he's not on the team and now he can't talk about it. And he has these tweets and he goes to Walmart and the Mexican media chases him down at Walmart and talks. And he doesn't really say that much. I mean, what did you get from what he said?
I think it's clear that there's, just like with the Carlos Vela saga, just like with some of the other, you know, even the previous times that Gio's been omitted from the team, I think that it's clear that there's something else happening here, and it's clear that no one is willing or able to say what else is happening. I told you this a little earlier, Josh, but when you translate Giovanni's tweets, there's a little subtle difference between the word puedo. It can mean I'm not able to, which is no puedo. It can mean I'm not able to, or it can mean I can't.
Right.
So I don't know. It depends on what he meant in the tweet and what the context is. And I think you can lose some of that in English, but even in Spanish, it still leaves it open to interpretation.
Right.
And that's where I think we're at. I mean, I think it's a situation where we just frankly don't know, and we don't like that. And hopefully, you know, it'll come out in the book next year or whatever. You know, hopefully it'll come out at some point, or maybe Gio will be able to speak more freely about it, or Osorio will shed light on that soon. But it's one of those things where, like, as much as we want to know, and as much as we're programmed to get the information that we want in this era, and even eras before this, I just think right now we don't know exactly what's going on. We don't even know kind of what's going on.
We know what we've been told, and that hasn't cleared anything up. So that's always tough whenever that happens. Talk about Giovanni Dos Santos and his play. Now, granted, I have got to see him play a lot, being an LA Galaxy person and following him and watching him play a lot. But do you think that his level, and some people have questioned this, do you think that his level has been raised to where he should have been on the Mexican national team?
I think he would have been a very, very enticing substitute option. Okay. Like when you look at Juan Carlos Osorio, he's generally done a 4-3-3. You could play Giovanni up front as one of those wingers, but I think that some other guys, Jesus Tecatito Corona, Irving Lozano, who's on the team, the Tigres wingers, Javier Aquino and Jürgen Damm, they're both listed as forwards. I don't know that he's displacing some of those guys in the starting lineup. I do think that, you know, you like to have him as an option off the bench because, you know, obviously you've seen in LA and you've seen watching him in the past with the Mexican national team in Europe, the versatility that he has. If you need someone to play in the midfield role, he can do that. If you need someone to play as a forward, he can do that. So I think he would have been a nice option as kind of a utility player. Like I said, maybe that played into part of this is that Osorio wanted him to take a role that he wasn't comfortable with or didn't want to, or felt that he should have been doing something else. We don't know, but yeah, I don't think he would have broken into the starting lineup. I don't think his form, I think he's in good form, but I don't think he's back to where he's a surefire starter with this team. It's a very deep team. And that's why I don't think that, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think his absence, his brother's absence, or the absence of Carlos Vela will stop Mexico from having success in this tournament. And I'm not sure that, you know, the omissions are going to come back to haunt Juan Carlos Osorio. But I do think he would have been a nice piece as kind of an extra, a little bonus.
Right, right. Is it safe to say there's no love lost between Giovanni Dos Santos and Osorio?
I guess. It seems that way.
Where
it's like, how have they even had time to lose love? I don't know. You know, Osorio takes over the Mexican national team after the CONCACAF Cup or whatever it was called, the thing in LA, the Mexico-US game. Tuca Ferretti was the interim Mexico manager. Osorio takes over after that. He hasn't lost the game as Mexico manager yet. He's won every single match. So, you know, it's one of those things where he's coming from a pretty strong position just because he's had so many good results. This will be the first, I guess, big test he's faced. They have played, you know, qualifiers, but their group is relatively easy, and especially as deep as this team is. So, yes, it certainly seems like there's some sort of dissonance between Juan Carlos Osorio and Giovanni Dos Santos. It's interesting because I think when Osorio got the job, having the perspective of that, you know, as an American who covers Mexican soccer, you know, I always kind of look at how is this going to affect, you know, MLS and the general kind of American fans that I usually write to,
right?
My audience. And I thought, well, okay, here comes Osorio. This is going to be great news for Giovanni Dos Santos. It's going to be great news if Carlos Vela decides to come to MLS. It's going to be great news if Cuba Torres ever gets minutes and starts scoring, which doesn't look like it's going to happen, but that's another topic. Because Osorio used to be with the Red Bulls. You know, he has a U.S. education. He has experience in the soccer setup here in the United States and, you know, is very open-minded and likes to try new things and is very kind of disciplined and does a lot of research. And so I really thought, oh, here's the opportunity for the MLS guys that maybe they weren't getting under Miguel Herrera. Maybe they weren't getting under Chepo de la Torre. That hasn't worked out, but it hasn't been the case. You know, Giovanni is yet to appear, yet to get a call. And obviously the other guys aren't really informed. So I'm not saying that Osorio is biased against MLS, but it certainly seems that something is not clicking there between him and Giovanni Dos Santos.
Well, there you go. See, now we know exactly as much as we started, though, but we at least sound smarter, I think, is really what it all comes down to, John. What do you think?
I think you just wanted to get me on the line, and I'm okay with that. I like to hear your voice, too.
It's nice. I don't want to hold you from Snarky Puppy any longer, though. So, John Arnold, you can follow him on Twitter at, Arnold, John. Spell out the comma. Don't put it in there, otherwise it doesn't work, because that's not a valid Twitter address anyway. So, Arnold, John, follow him. He writes for Goal USA. John, have fun at the concert, all right?
Thanks so much, man. Take care.
All right. See ya. All right. That's John Arnold. Good friend. Go follow him on Twitter. Do all that fun stuff. I'm going to take a break whenever I get back. Wendy's back with me. We got calls. We got more from the live studio audience in here as well. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Ready for some more Corner of the Galaxy? Don't forget to head over to the website for all the latest podcasts, news, and more. Visit us online at cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memory, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy, cornerofthegalaxy.com. About 20 minutes left now. How much time flies when you're having fun. I want to thank John Arnold for coming on the show. John, you're awesome. Enjoy your Snarky Puppies concert. I can't handle it with the Snarky Puppies thing, Wendy. I seriously. Every time I say Snarky Puppies, like, something goes off in my brain that makes me giggle uncontrollably, quite honestly. So, it'll be interesting. But we got a lot to talk about still. Passing off to the Giovanni Dos Santos thing. He's happy. We'll see how it goes. We'll let him be, I guess. That's how it's supposed to be. And, you know, then we'll wait for the tell-all book to come out where it says that Osorio really told him that he wasn't on the team and, you know, that everything's crazy. So, MLS player salaries. MLS players. All right.
Salary them.
What do you got? What do you got, Wendy? Where do you want to start with this wonderful? Do you want to start with the LA Galaxy spending technically less money than they did last year?
Yeah, and we spend less than Toronto, and we spend less than New York City. We're not the highest. And did you see that Colorado jumped up from being one of the lowest spending teams to one of the highest spending teams because of Tim Howard joining the team?
Yeah, I was going to say it's one player and you're like, oh, okay.
It's one player and it's Tim Howard. Yeah. So I think it's very interesting. Obviously, salary dump day is an opportunity for us to all consider who is overpaid and who is underpaid in MLS and by how much. And I always like to caution people that you have to take into consideration when a team is deciding what to pay someone, that they are not just considering on-the-field influence. Because obviously, Steven Gerrard is not 20 times more influential on a game than A.J. De La Garza.
Right.
But when I go to the StubHub Center for a Galaxy game, I see so many Gerrard jerseys. Everywhere I see Liverpool, but I also see tons of Gerrard Galaxy jerseys. And what I will tell you is that Liverpool is a very big club,
right,
and their fans are everywhere, because I see more Gerrard jerseys than I see Dos Santos jerseys, and we're in LA,
right?
So they must have sold $6 million worth of those Gerrard jerseys, because I think that people have to, you know, take it with the grain of salt that one of the reasons why he's here is because he's like a statesman of the game, and he is, you know, bringing a marketing aspect to the team, and, you know, he's also a nice midfielder.
Well, it wouldn't take too many jerseys for it to equal $6 million. They're about $1 million a piece whenever you buy one.
You a story when we get off the phone about the lengths that I'm going to try and get a legit jersey.
Oh, really? Can't you just go buy one?
Okay, so really quickly.
Yes, go ahead.
Really quickly. I've been trying to get a legit jersey, okay? So they don't sell them online in women's, and you can't get I want the legit in navy.
Right.
Okay? In a medium, just really simple with legit, okay? Don't sell it online. I had to go. I went to the LA Galaxy store. No. Called my service rep at the LA Galaxy. She was like, I don't know. I really don't know how. She calls me back later. She's like, okay, I figured it out. You can go to the team store, ask them for, and they sell the plain ones, and you can get the name printed on it and pick it up after the game. So the only way that I can actually buy a legit jersey in navy, women's, medium, is to actually physically go and get it like hand done for me. They don't sell them. They're not available. You have to get them hand done.
Well, I mean, that's kind of normal. That's not that much of an extra. I thought you were going to tell me like you were selling your kidneys
or something. I mean, I went to like all these websites. It's like, I can't get a real legit jersey. Okay. I mean, because they sell them for men, by the way, online. You can buy it online.
Sexist.
For a male's, they do not have the woman's navy. They have the male navy.
I'll tell you.
Not the women's. That's
the
right.
The trials and tribulations you go through.
Of being
Wendy,
a female soccer fan. I know.
It's tough. I don't know how you do it all the time, quite honestly. All right. Let's get back to salaries.
Salary dump.
Okay. Salary dumps. So here's the interesting stuff. And here's the stuff that I wrote about. You can go on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can see some of my analysis on just real some quick takes that I looked at that said, oh, this is interesting. One of the biggest and most interesting things that you're going to find is that it shows that Giovanni Dos Santos's base salary in 2016 is $2.5 million, whereas in 2015, it was $4 million, which is actually a difference of $1.5 million. And everybody goes, oh, including me, whenever I tweeted that out and then somebody corrected me, Professor Stephen Bank, by the way, who's awesome on Twitter and corrects me.
Professor Bang.
Yeah,
I chat with him on Twitter all the time.
I'm sure you two lawyers, you're great. Anyway,
we'd love to do it.
Yeah, so he corrected me and said that the base salary here is probably just a correction because the base salary shown in 2015 is $4 million, but that was only for half the season, so you prorate it down to $2 million is what he really got. So as a matter of fact, his base salary probably went up by $500,000 instead of down by $1.5 million.
Thank you. And that's why he's our friend on Twitter.
There you go.
So he tells us things like that.
So that's crazy and stupid. It does look like, in fact, though, Robbie Keane did take $1 million pay cut, which is nice. Oh, I'm just going to let me cut to $1 million. 4.5 was his 2015 base salary. $3.5 million for 2016 base salary. His guaranteed compensation is the same as his base salary. Don't worry about those terms. Quite honestly, they don't mean anything when we're talking about, you know, fake money anyway for most of the stuff. Let's
see if that catches your eye, because I'll tell you what catches my eye is the fact that our backup keeper earns $90,000, but where our ostensible first choice keeper earns $250,000, and yet our backup keeper seems to be performing much better than our ostensible first choice keeper.
I don't know why everybody's surprised by this. We all knew that Dan Kennedy was getting paid more money than Brian Rowe, right? We knew that was happening, and we know Brian Rowe even got a raise, all right? He got a raise. He got a $20,000 raise, $60,000 in 2015, $80,000 in 2016. So he got a $20,000 raise. But Dan Kennedy, coming over from FC Dallas, remember, this is a guy Bruce wanted, $180,000 getting paid right now. You know, technically, you want to talk about some real fun? Dan Kennedy is making more money than Donovan Ricketts did from the LA Galaxy. But Donovan Ricketts' base salary was $220,000, but the LA Galaxy weren't paying most of that. So Dan Kennedy actually is probably making more money than Donovan Ricketts was for the LA Galaxy, if you want to play that game. So that's the one that sticks out right there. That's the one.
I think it's interesting when you look at this, you know, the things that you can see Bruce Arena in this salary. You can see the salary structure. You can see overspending on age and veteran players and locker room guys, because you can see Jeff Lorenkowitz is earning $175,000 a year. Mike McGee is earning $250,000 a year. These are all, you know, veteran MLS guys.
I don't see either of those as overspending. Quite honestly, you look at what they were making in 2016 and what he was able to bring them in for. It actually makes some good sense. Jeff Lorenkowitz was making $265,000 with the Chicago Fire last year.
But right. How many minutes is he going to see this year?
He's probably going to be playing a lot more than you think he's going to be playing, because he's the sub. He's the guy who's going to be playing in the middle. He's the guy who's going to have to come in and take Gerard's minutes or Nigel de Jong's minutes whenever that happens. I do think that's a place where they're going to sub. They're going to sub the outside wings, the middle of the midfield, especially whenever they want to kill a game off and bring some defense in. They're going to pull Gerard out whenever they're going to bring some defense in eventually. That's going to have to happen. So
on the other end, if we're looking at value profits, Bucks, yeah. I'm telling you, Sebastian Legette at $110,000 a year is a steal.
You're so biased.
I am not biased. He contributes a lot when he's on the field. He does. He plays both sides of the ball. He's super aggressive. He's creative. You could put him in different positions. He's technical. He's got a lot of skill. He brings a lot to the team. And if you don't believe me there, how about Ariel Lassiter?
Yep.
50, the lowest played player on the LA Galaxy roster, a mere $50,000 a year.
Well, what are you going to pay him? He came up from USL too. I mean, listen, I look at some of these and normally there's one guy on the team you're going, oh my God, he's getting overpaid like so bad, like Edson Buttle last year, or even Todd Donovan.
Dan Kennedy's getting overpaid.
That's it. Everybody, Steven Gerrard's getting overpaid $6 million. Here's the thing about designated players. Don't pay attention to any of the dollars.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's fictional money. It's not, you don't have to worry about it. And also for LA Galaxy DPs, we're always going to be paying a lot. It's okay. Uncle Phil doesn't mind. He's got the money. He's got, you know, he owns the Staples Center. He can afford it. Don't worry, folks.
The only thing you should be worried about with designated players whenever you look at this is whether or not you want somebody else in that designated player spot, because they cost the same against the cap, so it doesn't matter how much money they make.
So the question isn't, I mean, I don't care. Pay Steven Gerrard $10 million, $20 million, I don't care.
I want to
know whether he's playing well.
Yeah, and
if he plays well, pay him infinite amount of money. I don't care. I just want him playing well.
And that's the thing. Listen, I don't think he's earned his $6 million, regardless of the off field stuff that he brings in, and that's the God's honest truth. But he has been playing better. He has been doing, looking a little bit better. He has been more involved in the attack. He has been a better player this year for the LA Galaxy than he was last year, and he has a chance of almost earning that $6 million if he can bring an MLS Cup to the LA Galaxy at the end of the year, if he stays till the end of the year. If all of that happens, then I don't see $6 million. You know what? $6 million will be a throwaway compared to what you know, you could be spending on possibly a Zlatan Ibrahimovic who's coming in for $10 or $12 million. Again, the money doesn't matter with designated players, and I've tried to say this the best way I can. I think I have to hit some of you over the head with it. It doesn't matter. The $6 million, that doesn't count against my cap. It doesn't hurt the team. All that hurts the team is whether or not that player is taking up a designated player spot like Omar Gonzalez was. Omar Gonzalez was overpaid because he wasn't good enough to be a designated player, and he was taking up a spot. All right? So that's my take on it. All right? Let's see. I think we have a call coming in. I think I know who it is, too. Corey.
Are we allowed to cross the streams like Ghostbusters, or what's going to happen here?
Hey, Corey.
The world is going to blow up is what's going to happen.
I just wanted to call in before Wendy got that restraining order taken out for her on Sebastian.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. That's probably a good idea. What are you thinking, Corey? Did you pay attention to any of the MLS player salary stuff? Is it just Dan Kennedy that's sort of the you're making too much money guy?
Yeah, I mean the DP stuff that's come down a little bit, so it takes off a little bit of the overall dollar number. But you know, there's nothing out there that really surprised me too much. And there's so many different mechanisms out there with TAM and GAM and HAM and all these other things out there with allocation monies of all sorts of stripes and colors that I don't even know how it comes and goes anymore.
Yeah, no, it is. It's interesting. The LA Galaxy, I guess the for both of you, the LA Galaxy do have 1, 2, 3 players who are also over the maxed capped salary budget number, including Yella Van Dam, Jussie Zardes, and Nigel De Jong, all make over the max budget, which means that TAM or GAM is being used, targeted allocation money or general allocation money.
Are we thinking that Colorado just gave them a whole boatload of it?
I don't think that they're really using all that much whenever you look at the differences between that. I mean, technically, Yella Van Dam's base salary is under the max, but his guaranteed compensation is over. So I imagine that they're probably paying, you know, $10,000 or $12,000 of TAM in order to pay it down under the cap whenever you look at it. So, yeah, I mean, it's the LA Galaxy doing the good thing. Ashley Cole's in at $300,000. Let's just remember that happened. All right.
Thank you, TAM.
Yeah,
thank
I was still one of the most, by the way, probably highest paid defenders in Major League Soccer outside of, you know, designated player Liam Ridgewell, probably for Portland.
There's probably a few, but I was disagreeing with Sean about this today. I say that Cole and Rogers are worth their salaries, even though they're for fullbacks. They're paid handsomely.
They're not too bad. Corey, did you just miss me? Is that why you called in?
You know, I got a little, you know, jealous after it's been almost a month now.
I know.
So
I know.
Wasn't gonna let Wendy have all the fun.
We're very possessive of you, Josh.
I understand.
You're with someone else, we're thinking about, oh, he's with Corey.
Yes.
Oh,
well, I've been lightly following the Geo news, and I got to listen to your conversation with John and everything. And,
right.
You know, I guess my take's on it a little different. There's definitely some things out there that we are not. The curtain hasn't been pulled back for us to be privy to that type of information. I do think that the coach himself is in a little bit of a CYA, you know, mode right now.
Right.
Just because Mexico cycles through head coaches like I do with, you know, trash bags or something.
Right.
And so the way that he chose to phrase it was obviously something of the, you know, Gio and Vela chose to, you know, they denied their call in.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of pushes it back on the player that said, you know, I went to them and I kind of approached them in a way that I thought that I could get them on board. And who knows how many caveats were put on top of that. But the way that he chose to phrase it, at least as it was translated from the press conference, was that they turned down a call to the team so he can kind of wash his hands and absolve himself of it if they don't go in and perform the way that they did.
I think that that's probably where we're going to end up, and we're going to figure out what all this stuff is, and that's probably going to be what it is, Corey. So I think that's good. All right, buddy, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's good news for the Galaxy fans for sure.
I think so. I'll probably catch up with you next week, all right?
Sounds good.
All right, see you, Corey.
Good show, guys.
All right, Corey Ritzau, co-host on Corner of the Galaxy, calling in. Always like it whenever we can get everybody involved.
The other
involved.
Woman. I like to think of him.
The other woman. Poor Wendy. It's okay, Wendy. It's okay. Here is, let's point to the one thing that really stood out with me, and it took me a while to actually track it down. If you read my story early in the morning, you should probably go back and read it again because there's an update there, and it's sort of the mysterious case of Dan Gargan. Dan Gargan is listed at the very bottom of the player salaries list, and he's listed at $145,000 with no team affiliated to him, Wendy, and I almost guarantee you, almost 100% the LA Galaxy are paying that $145,000, but it's probably not hitting the cap. That's my guess.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And that's why Dan Gargan, we were seeing on television, because remember how he was dropped less than a week, I think, before we actually, remember he was dropped at the very, very, very end of the preseason. It was like it was only days away from playing that he was dropped. And so that probably has something to do with it.
Very well could. And, you know, we'll keep an eye on to see if anything ever pops up. But now you know that Dan Kennedy is getting two paychecks, one from Time Warner Cable Sports and one probably from the LA Galaxy or Major League Soccer, as he's a defender without a team and is being paid $145,000, both on base and guaranteed money. All right.
Are you going to tell us now why you're fired up?
This Steven Gerrard quote thing is driving me crazy, Wendy, for 2 days. I think I've probably lost.
Can you just give me, can you express, breathe, Josh, breathe. Okay, now tell us. Tell the podcasting audience your story.
The tweet comes out. The tweet. I'm going to call it the tweet because everybody knows what the tweet is. Steven Gerrard chatting to BT Sport before Liverpool play Sevilla in the Europa Cup final, right? Everybody knows this. It's a big game, and you knew Steven Gerrard would have some part in it. Now, he didn't fly over there to take part in the studio. He did it from his house. He got on the phone. He got on like a video chat with BT Sport, and he said, this was the quote that we got. He said, not only do I wish I was playing for Liverpool, I wish I was playing for Klopp. Right? That was all we got. And this sends everybody into a tizzy. All right? And I'm sitting there going, well, that's the pretty obvious thing for him to say, quite honestly. I'm trying to think to myself, if they ask me, Josh, would you rather be playing for Liverpool today and playing for Klopp? I'm like, yeah, I would. As a matter of fact, I think most players in Major League Soccer, if asked the question, would want to be playing for Liverpool and wanting to be playing for Klopp. Because that's a cup final. Who doesn't want to play that? And Klopp seems like he's a fun guy to play for, too. I mean, me having no real athletic ability, at least not in terms of professional ability, I want to play for Jurgen Klopp right now. In fact, if he came in here and started, you know, coaching me through this podcast, I would be ecstatic about it, all right? And I think everybody would. So that's the thing. But that goes beyond it, because everybody's upset. They're saying, you know, if Steven Gerrard doesn't want to be here, if he doesn't want to play for the LA Galaxy, then he should go home. That's the overwhelming feel from LA Galaxy fans. And I sit there and I go, how could you not expect him to say this? He said stuff like this before, and maybe this is it. Maybe that this is the straw that breaks the camel's back on this one.
I think there's a couple of dynamics that we should be aware
hold on,
of.
Hold on. I'm still get to yell a little bit longer, okay? So I see everybody doing this, and I'm like, guys, I don't understand how you're this upset about it. The guy is playing well for the LA Galaxy. He is engaged with the LA Galaxy right now. He is focused on the games. When he plays, he's there to play, and he's making a difference on the team. Now, granted, that wasn't the case last year, but that's not last year, that's this year. And then, you know, they added the $6 million that he's making, which, by the way, everybody knew how much money he was making, Wendy. That wasn't a surprise. It was just like, oh, all of a sudden I see it in print, and now I'm going to be more outraged. All that stuff. Listen, Steven Gerrard, if he wants to be here, should stay here. But he's still going to talk about Liverpool, because Liverpool is his first wife who died. Okay, he didn't break up with her. It wasn't a mutual feeling. He couldn't play there anymore because he wasn't going to get playing time, and he thought to himself, hey, this is my chance to go somewhere else. And so she's still around. And so if you get married to Steven Gerrard again, he still loves his first wife because he didn't want to leave that situation in the first place. All right? But he had to because he's old and basically MLS is all he has left anymore. So how are you upset about this? It makes no sense to me. Calm down, everybody. I say as I scream. But calm down and understand that Steven Gerrard right now is playing well for the LA Galaxy. If he does, you know how he can make it up to me? He can lift an MLS Cup at the end of the year, and I will be happy with that. And so will everybody else, by the way. So I understand the comment can be taken harshly, that if you're an LA Galaxy fan, you can be upset about that. All right, but at the same time, shipping him off, all right, everybody thinks Zlatan's coming in too, by the way. I'm like, you know, that's not 100%. That's not just a rumor. So don't be shipping off Steven Gerrard right now at a position of need, by the way, for the LA Galaxy in that attacking central midfielder role. Yeah. I don't... Go ahead.
Are you done?
Yes, I need to breathe anyway.
I know. Take a little sip of your Pacifica.
Okay, well.
There's a few dynamics at issue here. One is the money thing I don't get at all. I'm a miserable capitalist. I really just believe that your value is whatever the market will bear, and that's tested out by whatever someone will pay you.
Bingo.
Yeah. So though with respect to Liverpool, I do think that a lot of times people don't appreciate necessarily when someone is giving interview who they're giving it to and the audience that they're giving it for, and the fact that he is directly speaking to Liverpool fans when he's giving an interview like that. And so Steven Gerrard, as an intelligent man, is attuned to the fact that, you know, he has to be aware of who he's speaking to. And I'm also a terrible person to talk about Jurgen Klopp because I have to completely confess that I'm a huge Borussia Dortmund fan. And right. One of the reasons I became a Dortmund fan is because I love Jurgen Klopp so much. So I'm absolutely the wrong person to be speaking about whether Klopp should be idealized or worshipped by players. But the last thing is that MLS fans can be sensitive, very sensitive to the perception, fair or unfair, that we're a illegitimate league or that we haven't, you know, earned our stripes or that there isn't quality to be found here. And so I think that when, you know, someone who is as well regarded as Steven Gerrard says something which could be perceived in a light which is, you know, possibly or potentially critical of his current team, that, you know, we're just sensitive to it. I do believe that it's not like Steven Gerrard is saying, my current team sucks and I hate it here or anything like that. I don't think that's true. And my sense is when he plays, he really is committed to playing and he cares a lot about winning. I think his sense of professionalism bars him from ever, you know, playing any less than full effort. But I mean, I understand their perspective, which is that they don't want any slight. You don't want any slight to pass
right. When
you feel like it could be, especially since, you know, it's our team. This is our team. You know, the LA Galaxy, there's a lot of Liverpool fans in the world and they're entitled to be Liverpool fans, but the LA Galaxy is our team. And so we want to protect our team. So I appreciate the sense of the where that comes from. It comes from a space of wanting to be protective and respectful of your team and wanting others to do the same. But I don't think that Steven Gerrard meant anything by it, and I don't think it means anything with respect to the attention that he's bringing to being an LA Galaxy player.
Now, if you want to get angry, let me read you some quotes from the rest of that interview, because I think you could get angry at some of the stuff that he has said, but not for the one that I read, because that's the kind of place that Josh lives in most of the time. Here's Steven Gerrard, what he said to BT Sport before the Liverpool-Sevilla game. I would love to be on the pitch playing in the final. In better circumstances, I would love to be sitting alongside the boys, but I'll still be watching and hopefully they can get a good victory. I think they'll have the firepower to get over the line. He goes, I'm sitting here now about to watch this game, and not only do I wish I was playing for Liverpool, but I wish I was playing for Jurgen Klopp. He also added, he's not just lifted the players, Jurgen Klopp, he's lifted the supporters, he's lifted the city, and everyone enjoys watching him. He's very infectious. He makes you smile when you watch his interviews and see his behavior on the sideline. He's a manager you would love to play for. Steven Gerrard before there. In better circumstances. That's the only part I have a problem with.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and that could be, you know, you could interpret that as a signal that in better circumstances, if I hadn't been booted from Liverpool, if I hadn't been shunted and I hadn't, you know, had to go to this, you know, bedraggled part of the world, Los Angeles, I don't think that's really what he means. I think that that's more of a reflection of how he ended his time. And also, you know, what happened with Liverpool vis-a-vis Brendan Rodgers, the fact that they had this coach who, for a couple of years, you know, they brought them so close in 2013, and then they had a miserable season, and, you know, and then Klopp comes in and really revitalizes the team. He does get spirits up. I think that you could just as easily say that this is a comment which you could construe as being, you know, a signal to the leadership of Fenway Sports Group vis-a-vis Brendan Rodgers versus Jurgen Klopp, and not so much LA Galaxy versus Liverpool. But I understand what you're saying. In better circumstances, as though playing for LA Galaxy and MLS is like a terrible circumstance to be in.
So now people understand why apparently I've just been just flying off the hook for the last 2 days on people on Twitter. I think I've only lost 2 or 3 Twitter followers, so, you know, we'll still survive. That's how it goes. I'd also like to just point out to people that Twitter is not real life, and you should probably not be a dick to people on Twitter. That's just my little PSA for today. All right, LA Galaxy versus San Jose Earthquakes. We got about 5 minutes left here, Wendy, because you and I have found lots of stuff to talk about.
We talk. We're such gossips.
I know. That's how it works. The LA Galaxy San Jose Earthquakes, Sunday, May 22nd, 2016, 4 p.m. kickoff time. So a little bit earlier than normal. This game will be kicked off on Fox Sports 1 if you want to watch it on television. But quite honestly, there's no excuse. It's a Cali Clasico. Get your butt to the stadium. Let's see. San Jose played a midweek friendly against Real Sociedad of La Liga. They won 2-1 on Wednesday night. The last time that San Jose actually played was a week before that, a Wednesday midweek game. So they had no game over the weekend where they won 3-1 versus Houston at home. And I think it lost a stopped a two game losing streak for them. Chris Wondolowski played all 90 minutes in the Real Sociedad game, got two goals. Wando Brace basically gave them the win there. But I find it interesting that in a short week where he's going to have to travel down to Los Angeles, that Chris plays 90 minutes. And now we'll have to face off against the LA Galaxy, maybe with some tired legs here. Maybe they're already writing it off. The LA Galaxy, Wendy, 19-5-5 at home versus the San Jose Earthquakes all time. And people want to call it a rivalry because it is, because whenever it goes back the other way, the LA Galaxy tend to lose up in San Jose. What's up with that? That's BS.
Well, we know that away games are tough, right? Tougher in MLS than any other league that I can think of, with the exception of maybe China or Russia.
Okay.
But I think that, with respect to the chances, I the San Jose Earthquakes not exactly tearing it up this year, not exactly, you know, lighting it up. Away, their away record is pretty poor. They do not have an away win yet this season, but that's okay. LA Galaxy, you know, we're certainly not ones to throw rocks at the away game house.
0-3-2 for San Jose on the road. Yes.
So I think that I predict that it will be an LA Galaxy victory.
Right.
That we'll prevail then in this Cali Clasico. But, you know, I'm not one to start sniffing at San Jose Earthquakes, since I know our own away record is pretty miserable.
Alan Gordon has been training, says he's ready for the San Jose Earthquakes game. Nigel Young says that he's back to full training ahead of the San Jose Earthquakes game as well, so expect both of those guys to be there. Everybody else, by the way.
I want McGee in goal, though. I do want McGee in goal for this game.
No. It's going to be Brian Rowe, which will be just perfect. I'm calling it now. Brian Rowe back in as the number one starter. I said it last week after the Philadelphia game that Brian Rowe will be back. That's going to happen. As far as I'm concerned,
that's going to happen. You know that Gordo's going to get at least 10 minutes, right?
He has to, because he's going to want to beat somebody up. So Alan Gordon will be in there.
Fist fight.
That's right. You know, everybody else. By the way, injury-wise, LA Galaxy, knock on wood, find some wood, everybody. Knock on wood. The LA Galaxy are actually pretty healthy. Alan Gordon, if he comes back, will be off the injury list. Nigel DeYoung, off the injury list. There's only one player that I know of that's currently on the injury list, and that's Bradford Jameson IV. So we'll wait. Don't worry. I have good faith that Bradford will be back as soon as he can. So, but anyway, he's the only person I know of that's currently on the injury list, as far as I know. So, that's what you have for the LA Galaxy. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with DeYoung and what formation they play, Wendy, because the 4-3-3 doesn't really suit Steven Gerrard and Nigel DeYoung being in there together, but that's probably going to happen. So do they play a 4-3-3 or do they go something different? Is Jossy Zardes going to play on the wing again? You know, when he's been doing so well vertically up top and sort of leading
that. I hope
that.
They don't put Jossy Zardes in the wing.
Well, I mean, I find it hard to put Steven Gerrard and Nigel De Jong in the center of the midfield and, like, without moving one of them left or right. So one of them's not going to be in the center if they go 4-3-3. And how does that work? And who's the other person? Is it Legette? Is it Boateng? It's Legette is the answer, but that's fine. Legette's in there. So, but then your width is coming from the wings. You know, does Robbie Rogers start? Does AJ De La Garza start? Oh my God, there's so many things. See, I told you the problem was going to be whenever people got healthy and not that people were injured. Healthy is the big issue right now, and who's going to play? That's probably a good thing for the LA Galaxy and Bruce Arena. But nonetheless, I also think the LA Galaxy are going to win this game, just in case you were wondering. Wendy, give me a score so that way you can be wrong, and then I'll give a score.
I'm gonna guess it's gonna be a sound LA Galaxy victory. I'm guessing 3-0.
3-0. Ooh, a shutout too. Something the LA Galaxy have trouble doing.
Brian Rowe in goal.
2-1 LA Galaxy. That's what I give you. Jossy Zardes on the score sheet because he's been playing so well. And I'll give one to Sebastian Legette just to make you happy. All right, there you go.
Okay.
All right, I know. Calm down. Here we go. Again, the LA Galaxy face off against the San Jose Earthquakes on Sunday, May 22nd, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Get your tickets at lagalaxy.com/tickets. Wendy, is there possibly anything else we have to talk about?
No.
I mean, we could, but we're not going to.
Well,
right?
You and I can gossip for hours, but we don't need a podcast audience for that.
No, we don't. All right, well, tell people where they can find you.
You can find me at cornerofthegalaxy.com on American Soccer Now.
All right, there you go. And follow her at BardsBlonde on Twitter. I'm at Jay Gessman on Twitter or at Corner of the Galaxy. It's at Galaxy Podcast is our Twitter handle for this show. Go to YouTube.com, Corner of the Galaxy, where you can subscribe for all of our live shows. That's always fun. You should do that. I want to thank everybody for calling in. I want to thank Greg and Seb for sitting in the studio audience as well. Very good. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. And they're going to leave with a magnet because I have to get rid of them somehow. And they offered to take some. So they're going to leave with a magnet, and we appreciate them stopping by. iTunes, Corner of the Galaxy, all those fun places. Just type in Corner of the Galaxy. That's how you can find the show. Otherwise, we'll see you out at the stadium on Sunday. I will be there. Come say hi to me. I might have magnets for sale. You never know. $2.25 gets you one. All right, everybody. Have a good one. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everyone.